Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. We're going to be looking at that verse here in just a moment. It's good to have any visitors. We're really glad that you're here today, and I know this is a time where I have family coming in for Thanksgiving. They normally don't come all the way to St. Mary's, West Virginia, but for the first time, I think, 9 years or 10 years I've lived here, they're heading this way. So I'm looking forward to having them. Recognize, reflect, rejoice. I want you to remember those three words with me. Those are the three R's of being thankful. Recognize, reflect, and rejoice. That is the three points, actually, to this sermon. Let me say it again. Recognize, reflect, and rejoice. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude and thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Seil, who is considered the father of stress studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. Last week, if you were with us, we noted a few things about being thankful based upon the text of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. A thankful heart, we noted last week, teaches me how to pray, and it gives me things to pray about. It teaches me dependency upon God when I realize the things I'm thankful for. I realize whom they come from. Thankfulness also helps me be joyous, as we also considered last week. You cannot truly live a joyous life until we decide to live a thankful life. But there are many other things in the Bible that actually speak of the idea of thankfulness and how it blesses our lives. For instance, in Philippians chapter 4, a thankful heart in prayer to God combats worry and anxiety. Or maybe we never talked about it last week, but if you have some on your own time, read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, because there you'll find that actually a thankful heart can even keep us from sin. Sometimes it is sin comes from a heart of discontent. And from a heart of discontent, we commit sin. But thankfulness helps us be content in life, and it actually keeps us from sin. And our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always, or giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about it last week. Remember again, being thankful consistently, repeatedly is not natural. You understand that? You will not meet too many people who just will come out and say, I've just always been thankful naturally in my life. No, we tend to want to complain more about life. We tend to want to be more discontent about life. We tend to be more critical of others who are sometimes in our life. That's the more natural thing. There's a more natural tendency to rebel against God by means of temptation than to actually follow God. Thankfulness is a command, and it's commanded repeatedly over in Scripture. And anytime there's a command, sometimes obeying God doesn't just come naturally. It requires effort. And what I want to do this morning is when we talked about last week some good things of being thankful and how it's good for us to be thankful, okay, what I want to do is I want to talk about a process, a habit to develop of being thankful. How do I be thankful? And to be thankful every day. What kind of things should I do to really, truly, at the end of the day, give God thanks for everything in my life? Well, let's go back to the three R's. Are you ready? Let's talk about recognize. recognize. Now, I'm going to refer to a lot of scripture, and so we're not going to be able to turn to all of them, but one of them is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where the Bible there teaches us that Jesus had a routine to get away from the world and spend time with God in prayer. Early in the morning there, the Bible says, Jesus was up praying with God. And let me tell you something. When we think about the idea of learning to be thankful, this is a daily time we spend with God, actually. You can call it devotional time or study time or prayer time, and you can do that early in the morning or late at night, but there is a habit, a daily routine to get into, okay? And I'll tell you something, all right? You need something that'll remind you. You need a note, maybe by the table side or the nightstand of your bed. Did you pray? Okay? Or maybe a reminder on your phone. I don't know about you, but I kind of mentioned write up a to-do list on my phone each day. And you put it on your phone, put it on your watch, have somebody close in your life remind you. You know, there's got to be a daily habit, a pattern to develop, and a time with prayer to God to be thankful. Because here's the thing, all right? You can do this, and we can do this, in spite of the fact of how busy we are. If I have one problem about my driving, my kids will tell you this. One of my problems is I have a little bit of a lead foot. I don't know what it is, but if I don't pay attention, I will speed every time I get in a car, okay? I mean, let's just get somewhere from point A to point B and get there as fast as we can. That's been my philosophy when it comes to driving, okay? And if I speed and get pulled over, I deserve it, by the way. I'll just tell you that. There's no excuses in a lot of ways. But you know, a lot of times there's a difference between with the philosophy when it comes to driving, get somewhere to point A to point B, and what we call a Sunday stroll. Well, what's a Sunday stroll? You get in the car, you go down the country roads, you take your time, and you drive, but also look around and enjoy the scenery, right? Sometimes this time of year, people like to go and they like to drive around and look at Christmas lights demonstrations. You're not going 50 miles an hour in those times, are you? You're going really slow to look at the Christmas lights. Okay? Let me tell you something. One of the things that hinders thankfulness is the idea of going through a busy life and not slowing down to see the scenery. And the way that we slow down and see the scenery is actually not becoming less busy, because a lot of us can't change that, but it is effectively making a choice to take time each day, just as Jesus did in Mark 1:35, to spend with God and to recognize. Let me give you another hindrance to that. Distractions. Distractions. There are things in our lives that distract us from spending time with God. Okay, it might be our cell phones. It might be the television. It might be social media. It might be, you know, instead of when it's time to go to bed, spending time with God in prayer, instead, people like to stay on their phones or their tablets and fall asleep that way, basically, right? And so there is a proactive effort to recognize, spend time with God. Okay, so what do I recognize? Okay, let's first, I'm going to give you four things to recognize, all right, in being thankful. All right, number one, recognize the events that happened in your day. Okay, recognize events that happened in your day. Now, we're going to come back to these things. When you woke up this morning, did you have breakfast or not? Was coffee ready or not? Did you have coffee or not? Or how about your clothes? Did you have clothes to wear? Were your clothes ready or were they not ready? A lot of times we seem to complain, well, there's nothing to wear. I don't have any clothes ready, or I didn't get breakfast in time, you know. Or how about when you drove, when you got in the car and rode in a car, all right? Did you have any delays, any construction to go through? Were the roads okay? Did you almost get into a wreck? Sometimes a lot of these things happen, don't we? When we get home from work, do we get home on time? Do we get home late? Or, you know, or was there some kind of out of the ordinary of our routine day? Did we have to go shopping? Did we have to go do something? Did we have ball practice? Did we have a basketball game or some other kind of sporting event? You know, did we go attend something? Did we go be with family? Think about the events in your day. Okay, number two, think about the people in your day. Think about those around you or those who surrounded with you. Are you blessed with a family of children or grandchildren, with a spouse? You know, are you blessed with good neighbors or friends or people at work? You understand that? Who's around you? All right? What kind of friends do you have? What about the church you're part of? All right? How were you treated today? Did you feel like you were loved or maybe not? Were you treated kindly or were you treated in a rude way? Were you respected or disrespected? Were you corrected or were you complimented? All these things I want you to think of in your day, because we're going to come back to these things when we reflect. All right, the third thing, what about the circumstances in our life? What do you own? More than what we need, right? How many outfits of clothes do we have? How many pairs of shoes do we have? How many cars do we have? Do we have a house that has heat? Do we have a house that protects us from the elements? You know, where am I at in life when I think about circumstances? Do I have a job? Am I retired? Is my belly hungry? Or am I full? You know, do I have plenty to eat? What about my career? Am I married with children or single or widowed? And then number four, we're going to come back to these four things. What about my faith and my relationship with God? Do I have the hope of heaven or the confidence of salvation? Do I have the knowledge of God's word on how to live? Do I have a church family, a congregation that cares for me and wants to know what's truth? I mean, all of these things are things to consider when we recognize our circumstances, the people in our life, our relationship with God, the events in our day. There's four things in one sense we could recognize. I'm sure there's much more. But now let's talk about reflect. Because the more I recognize what's in my life, and the more I reflect on these things now, I transition to seeing what I have to now reflecting on them, the more I actually learn about God. You see, anytime we have something in our life, a gift that we've received, it all points back to God when we reflect. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes when someone gives us a gift, the gift may tell us more about what the person thinks of us or more about the person than the gift in and of itself. You understand that? Somebody gets us a nice gift because they love us. You know, you think of the time and effort it went into buy that gift and how many hours they made of work to give us that gift. You know, anytime we receive a gift, it tells us about the person giving us the gift. All right? And when I think about the things in our lives, all of these things point back to God. You know, one time I had a sister when I was in middle school. She was in high school at that time. She dated Bull for a few months, and it just so happened that when they were dating, it rolled around Christmas time. And so it was kind of one of those customarily things. Well, you know, you get your family some gifts, and I'll get my family some gifts and everything. And I'll never forget, you know, wasn't dating very long, and you know, he come over and brought a gift to her and to my mom and dad and my other sister and to me. And guess what he got me? A straw. No, it wasn't a McDonald's straw. It was one of those twisty Ren and Stimpy straws, you know. Listen, it wasn't even new in a package. It was just man-wrapped in a thing, and it was, you know, it was used, in other words. Somebody had already used it, but he got me a straw. And my thought was, what am I going to do with it? I'm in middle school. I'm not a kid anymore. Am I going to take it to lunch and, you know, poke it in the chocolate milk and show my buddies the straw I got? I'm not going to use this. It's a straw. I got a straw one day. I mean, now, I could say, though, you know what? At least he thought of me. Now, I will say, honestly, I would have had more respect of him if he would have come up to me and he said, listen, I didn't get you anything because the only thing I had was a straw, so I decided not to get you anything, you know. But at least, anytime you receive a gift in life, at least, at the very least, it says, someone is saying, I'm thinking of you. You understand that? And there's a sense there that we can be thankful just for that, even if it's a straw, a used straw at that, okay? Now, I want you to think about the events in our day. And I want you to think about how, in one sense, we can give thanks to God in the events in our day. When we woke up this morning, or any time we eat breakfast, guess what? That's God providing that breakfast. Matthew chapter 6, when it says, when we pray to God, give us this day our daily bread. The food you have in your cupboard, or the money you spent at McDonald's, whatever way you got your breakfast this morning, it is a gift from God. God made man the ability to make things. God gave us things that we can make things from. It all came from God, ultimately. He gave us the ability to work, to provide ourselves. And so when we think about the very food that we have, it is ultimately a gift from God. Think about that. Or think about maybe the clothes in our closet. Look at Matthew 6 again. Jesus' discussion of worrying, one of the things people in Bible times worried about was having sufficient clothing. Today we worry about whether or not clothes are in style or not. You know what I mean? Clothes are a dime a dozen, basically, right? And back then, Jesus says, don't worry about your clothes. Why? Because ultimately God's going to take care of you. In other words, even the clothes we have comes from God. And sometimes, I know there are mornings where maybe you've got mismatched socks on, or maybe, we didn't do enough laundry. At least you have clothes to wash, though. There are some mornings, in other words, we can start out in a bad mood. Didn't get breakfast. Sometimes you just didn't want to eat cereal. There was breakfast there. You know what I mean? Oh, man, I don't have nothing to wear. Yes, you do. You just don't want to wear what you have. But you have something, though. You know? There's a reason to give thanks to God. And we can go through the list, you know. Oh, what about driving? Well, I almost got in a wreck today. But you didn't. But you didn't. You know, oh, look at all the construction. Now, how about we be thankful instead that we live in a country that actually cares somewhat about the roads? Notice I said somewhat. Because if we didn't have construction on the roads, what would driving be like then? You understand that? There are so many times we go through our day, we can choose to have an attitude from Philippians 2 of grumbling and complaining. And I get it, because there are times in my life I'm there. And when at the end of the day, when we spend time with God and we think about the events in our day, we can either choose to have a grumbling attitude, or we can look at these everyday things and realize just how good life is because of God. Because of His blessings He gives us. How about the people in our day? Go back to that one. How about the people in our day? You know, again, it's one of those where we can focus on the flaws of people, and we can complain about the people in our life. We can complain about our spouse, to your coworkers. You can complain about your children, or you can complain to your children about your coworkers, or you can complain and complain about the people in our lives. And that's not to minimize sometimes the mistreatment in our life, and that's not to minimize sometimes the evil in our life, and that's not to minimize the circumstances and problems in our life. But let me say this. How many people in your life are Christians? And when was the last time we thank God that even though this person in my life is a Christian, they're not perfect, they're still a Christian? And even though they're not perfect in my life, they're growing in their faith over and over again. By the way, in Scripture, that's one thing I find, and we talked about that last week. Paul, the apostle, who wrote almost half of the New Testament, was one of the most thankful men you'd ever meet. And one of the things he continually thanked God for was other Christians and how they're growing in their faith. Now, he still, in his letters that he wrote to churches, because he was an inspired apostle, he still dealt with the problems that the church had, right? But before he dealt with the problems at Philippi, he thanked God for them. Before he dealt with the problems with the church at Thessalonica, he continually thanked God for them. Before even he dealt with all of the problems with the church at Corinth, and if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, you see that was a church riddled with problems, but he still started out in the first chapter in the fourth verse of, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. When was the last time we stopped to give thanks to God for the good and the people's lives around us? You know, did we go through our day? How were we treated? You know something I learned with the Apostle Paul? You know, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, read it on your own time. Paul is writing the book of Philippians going on several years of being a prisoner of Rome because he was a Christian. It's not that Paul did anything wrong. If anyone had a right to boo-hoo and cry about his circumstances in life, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He never deserved to go to jail, but here he'd been a prisoner for several years. And when he wrote to the church at Philippi, one of the other problems that he encountered was he actually had other Christians who were jealous of him because of his influence on other Christians. People were literally envious of Paul. Other preachers were envious of Paul and mistreated Paul and badmouthed Paul. Think about that. In spite of the fact that he's in jail. But one of the more interesting things, as you read verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 1, was when he notes how some basically preach Christ out of envy, you know, out of basically self-praise. And he notes, you know, there are some preachers out there who don't like me, who add pain to my chains or my afflictions. He notes they're preaching for the wrong reasons. But you know what he says? Here's my attitude about it. At least they're preaching the truth. In other words, in spite of how they're treating me, at least the gospel's being preached. In spite of maybe that their motives aren't pure, at least the gospel's being preached. And you realize that kind of attitude changes everything about how, when people don't like us and when people mistreat us. You understand that? I really didn't feel appreciated today. At least you know what it means to be appreciated. I didn't really feel loved today. At least you know what it means to be loved and respected. And guess what? The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 to treat others in the ways we want to be treated. We learn that command sometimes the hard way. And when we learn it the hard way, we should examine ourselves and says, never will I treat someone that way. We could be thankful even in misfortunes, even in mistreatments. We could be thankful and still try to see the good in others. You understand that? You know. And by the way, we could be thankful when people correct us. Read Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. We would be thankful to be corrected. It makes us better people. It ultimately brings us closer to God. Or how about the idea of how many times do we go through our day and the people around us and we forget all of the random acts of kindness that others show to us? The other day I was trying to get on an elevator and for some reason the elevator at Ruby Memorial doesn't want you to get on it. I'm not kidding. Next time you go to Ruby Memorial, watch those elevators. You got like 1 or 2 seconds to get on there, and that door closes, and it closes quickly. So here I've been waiting for 5 minutes to get on an elevator, and I'm about to get on, and that door closes on me, and a man stuck his arm out there and sacrificed his arm, it felt like, so I can get on. That was a random act of kindness. But you know what? I really appreciated it, actually. And when we go through our day and we think about the events and people in our lives, I mean, if we think about the things we complain about, do we really think about all the things that we can give thanks to God for? I mean, think about our circumstances in life. Think about how everything we have, God did give us to enjoy and be content with what we have. You know, we complain about clothes. Again, you have clothes. We complain about food. At least we have something to eat. We may complain about our home. At least we have a home. We may complain about a car that breaks down. At least we have a car to drive. There's so many things to give thanks for. And be honest with ourselves, they truly outnumber the things to complain about. How about our relationship with God? Have you ever gone a day not really thinking about your faith? You ever gone a day without praying? You ever gone a day without reading something from Scripture or listening to a sermon on a podcast or something like that? You ever done that? And if you notice, you ever gone a week doing that? And if you notice when we don't do that, we kind of gravitate and our mind becomes focused on the world and we don't always behave as we should. And you know something that's amazing? When we do that, guess what? The Bible still says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1. In other words, each day is a reset in my faith. I can start anew as a child of God. God's willing to forgive me of my sins, no matter how bad and how many I've committed in my life or on that day. Tomorrow's a new day. I'm cleansed when I seek God's forgiveness. I don't know about you, but that is one thing to give thanks to. On your own time, read Psalm 103. There the psalmist notes so many things to give thanks to God for. We give thanks to God for the spiritual blessings in our life. We give thanks to God that no matter what happens, because I'm a child of God, I have the hope of eternal life. I give thanks to God because of the fact of what He did for me some 2,000 years ago. That never gets old and that never becomes repetitious when we truly think about Calvary. And now notice the third thing as we close out this morning. If I want to be thankful, I need to recognize what's in my life, the events in my life, the people in my life, where I'm at in my life, you know, my circumstances in life, my faith and my relationship with God. And I really need to truly reflect on those things, because in every circumstance and with every individual and everything in my life, I can find a reason to be thankful. Even if all you got for Christmas was a straw, I can always find a reason to be thankful. It's a choice that I make. But here's the deal. It's not just finding a reason to be thankful, but it is being thankful towards whom? And that's the idea of rejoice. Church, rejoice in the sense of being thankful is ultimately expressing that thankfulness. Rejoicing is the concept, in other words, of thanking God for the people in our lives, the circumstances in our lives, where we are, what we have, and what we own. It's giving Him the credit. It's giving Him the praise. It's giving Him the glory. Because any time we ever rejoice to God or praise God, it should come from a heart of gratitude. A sincere heart of gratitude doesn't just stop there, but it gives credit to whom credit is due. And let me mention this as we close out. We should also rejoice of the things to be thankful for, because of not only we should express it in prayer, but let me tell you something. Gratitude changes our lives. It truly does reform us. I believe gratitude, for instance, reinforces humility, which we should have. Think about it. As one writer says, pride says, "I earned and accomplished this." And we look at life in terms of earning. And entitlement, he notes, says, "I deserve everything I have and then some." And when we look at life from that perspective, then blessings then are reviewed as rights and demanded. And due to our pride and sense of entitlement, we greedily gobble up blessings without recognizing them as gifts. But a humble mind is a mind that realizes everything I have is not because of just me and my hard work. And no. I may work hard, but God first gave me that ability to work hard. God first put me in a time and place where I perhaps could succeed in what I do. 500 years ago, if you were a genius at math, you probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere in life. Now, you can really capitalize on that, right? Just 300 years ago, if you could dunk a basketball, That's not really going to get you anywhere in life. Now, you could make millions of dollars. You understand that? Where you are in life, you didn't have a choice over, but God put you in that situation. You see what I'm saying? Everything we have, everything we can accomplish or do, we all owe it to God. And there's no room for bragging. It teaches us humility. It teaches us a dependence on God ultimately. Think about that. So how do I learn to be thankful? It's a choice I make each day. It really is. It's not just on Sunday morning when we come and reflect on the goodness of God, which is what we should do when we come together to worship God, especially when we partake of the Lord's Supper. It is each day, whether I start out in the morning or whether I do it before I go to bed, I recognize what's in my life. I reflect on how all these things I give God praise and thankfulness for. And then I do it. I rejoice in it. I really think that we ought to consider that. You know, when we think of Thanksgiving, sometimes we just think of the month of November. But the truth is, being thankful is more of a way of life. And it extends into December. It extends into January. It's 12 months out of the year. It's 52 weeks out of the year. 365 days out of the year. And every moment we're awake, may we strive to obey the command that God gives to give thanks in all circumstances. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of Christ, maybe you desire to become a Christian, or maybe you desire, if you're not a Christian, to come back to the Lord or seek prayers, whatever need you have.